Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good whatever it is to anybody anywhere who might be listening. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of New York City on this, the 1st of March, 2015, on an otherwise snowy day that looks like any given day in February. I mean, we've had more than our share of winter weather here in New York City and the Northeast in general and in good parts of the Southeast as well. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm getting a little winter weary here. The only time I came out today was to get the Sunday paper, which is a ritual and something that's a mainstay in the house for here, you know, broadcast or Sunday period. And I haven't been out since then. But anyway, we're here in New York, as I say, broadcasting on March the 1st, 2015, and waiting for the snow to cease, which, according to all weather reports here, is not going to cease until sometime in the morning, early or late, and then it's going to be sunny and sunny for a while. And whether we get another onslaught during the course of the week remains to be seen. But as I said, for the last two winters, for the first time, and it keeps me sometimes decidedly housebound of sorts. I decide there's nothing important enough for me to have to go out. If I got all the creature comforts at home, anything at home of that sort, I don't come out, which is a rarity for me. But here I am. And when I say welcome to an unscheduled Shut Up and Listen with me, your host, The Voice, I say that because I just haven't been doing scheduled programs in quite a while now. So I do them at random times and hope that on the off chance somebody logs in and gives a listen, then I still have listeners. And with that, I'll say that when I do this again, I'll still say I'm going to be coming back at a time as yet unannounced or at a time when I don't know I'm going to be doing this. But anyway, on to some of the topics. As I had said in my intro to the show, and, you know, buses and dresses and Rudy, oh my, to make fun, satirical fun of the old Wizard of Oz thing for anybody who didn't get it. And I'm sure most people did get the lions and tigers and bear, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, rather, oh my, part. Well, that's what made me come up with the topic. Because right now, I'm looking and I've been reading, which is where I get some of my opinions from, a lot of my opinions from, and quite often from editorials and opinions from the people, because people out here think a myriad of ways. They think a lot of ways, and nobody, I don't care who they are, is going to run into anybody or everybody everywhere who has the same opinion about topics. Nobody who is going to feel the same way about topics. And, you know, that's just a fact of life. I'm talking about stuff that people already know. But now, here we are in New York, and I think it was last week, a bus operator for New York City here ran over, well, turned a corner, and ran over a young girl and pretty badly mangled her leg, one of her legs. And it turns out he, in turn, was arrested. Didn't say anything about him running a traffic signal or anything of that sort. Nothing that I heard or read concerning that. Didn't say anything about him failing any kind of breathalyzer test, which they rarely ever get on the job there. People are taken down to the medical department for accidents. I know about these things. I've been that route, too. And giving the drug and alcohol test. Now, that happens on the job anytime somebody is injured. Anytime a bus hits a fixed object, almost anytime two buses have an accident, I don't care how extreme the accidents are, I don't care how critical accidents are, that does happen. What we have now is, for the first time to my knowledge, an operator actually getting arrested then and there. What transpired, I couldn't make out from what I saw on the news or what I read in the paper. So naturally, a lot of people, including at least one bus operator, well, one bus operator wrote an article, and he was talking about what bus operators go through on a daily basis out here in the street. And then there were other writers who said, well, bus operators have to show regard when they're turning and when they have to give the right of way to people. And they have to acknowledge that there are people out in the street that they can hurt, and that they are pedestrians and sometimes motorists. I've been out of that loop for 7 years now. But still, there are, you know, people with opinions on both sides of that fence. Bus operators are right, bus operators are wrong, you know, bus operators do this, bus operators do that, and then bus operators are up against this, they are up against that, I don't envy them. And, you know, everybody's right and everybody's wrong. And I'm going to tell you right now where it starts with everybody right and everybody's wrong, starting first with the buses, or the bus company, as we say. Or in New York now, it's called DOB. It used to be two different divisions here, New York City Transit Authority, and then there was MAPSTOR, Manhattan and Bronx Surface Transit Operating Authority. Now it's basically called DOB, Department of Buses. But that's neither here nor there. But to start with the buses, we have always, ladies and gentlemen, always had bus operators that had the wrong priorities. We've always had bus operators that would go through hell and high water to maintain a schedule, to stay on time, to complicate, as one of my coworkers said, an otherwise fairly simple job. And they would speed sometimes. They would run lights quite often, all for the sake of maintaining a schedule. My feeling at the time when I worked all those years on the job, my feeling was, hey, I made it to work on time. Anything after that is secondary. But I'm not going to speed and get into a situation just for the sake of maintaining a schedule. I always felt that way. There were workers who did not feel that way, and there are workers who can think disparagingly of you because you don't feel that way. You also, in turn, have supervisors out there on the road, dispatchers, they're more commonly known when they see them out there in the streets here in New York City, that would feel the same way when operators are not on time, on a trip-by-trip basis or on a daily basis. And they, too, can have those same negative comments about people. And then you have dispatchers who work and just made adjustments to the schedule, which is what they are supposed to do, in spite of whether somebody's on time or not. And, I mean, of course, there are people, you know, I mean, if you come up on time, if you came up on time late, constantly, day in and day out, of course, there's something wrong there. But I always said, and, you know, I don't know how many people ever listened to that viewpoint, the person to be suspect of is the person who is never, ever, ever late. Now, you factor in that with the public. But first, no, let me get past that and get past the public viewpoint and say, when you factor in the, for lack of a better term, when you factor in how the situations are handled, my God, there's snow out here everywhere. When you factor in how situations are handled and how supervision and management handles discipline out here, it has some operators very nervous. It has some operators very apprehensive. It has some operators pretty much nervous to the point where they make that their whole priority of being on time. You have operators that are terrible with the public. Let's face it, it's a public job. So you're going to have all kind of personalities, and you're going to have all kind of personalities working with the various personalities that are in the public sector. There is no common approach. That in itself is a fact, and it's one of those facts that you'll see in stores, you'll see in banks, you'll see in any given place. And there are so many people that have so many different personalities in that job, that work so many different ways, and that prioritize things in so many different ways, until, yeah, you're going to see these situations happen, and it's not always the operator's fault. You can see these things transpire. You can see these things happen, but they are not on every given time going to be something that the bus operators are accountable for. But I must say, now, in the years that I've been out, I have seen, and I don't know, see, I'm out of the loop. I don't know how things are working in there. I don't know how things are going there. I don't know what kind of procedures are taking place, how they're being trained. But I will admit, now, I see an unprecedented amount of accidents that seem to make the media, that seem to make the news. And while there are accidents every day, hey, in New York City, it happens. Somewhere a bus is going to get in an accident. Somewhere in some borough, well, bus is not a bus is going to get in an accident. But I've never seen so many now in the last, well, particularly 2, maybe 3 years, accidents that normally make the news. That is something that threw a flag up to me. That was something that got my attention. And I started to wonder, well, what's going on? How's the training? What's the attitude of the new workers? What's the attitude of the new operators? Because when I'm out there in the street, I don't always see people that I know anymore. Almost everybody I know is either getting ready to retire or people that have retired. And I just don't see a lot of the old familiar plate faces that I used to see. But one thing I do know is that, yes, there are more accidents that seem to be media worthy, for lack of a better term. Now, this brings me now to the main topic with buses in New York City, for anybody that's interested. There is no comparison to the amount of bus accidents with pedestrians. There's no comparison with that to the amount of disrespect bus operators can get from pedestrians and motorists. And I did this job for 25 and a half years, ladies and gentlemen. That was a long time. And the stuff that you took, the crap that you took out here in the street, cars who purposely cut you off, cars who would slow down, cars who would do what they think is getting even when you got a little too close to them, cars who would get people, passengers who would get out, or drivers who would get out and argue, and in some cases assault bus drivers, or bash windows, or break mirrors, bicyclists who would do things to jeopardize the safety of the bus, and stupidly to jeopardize the safety of the passengers on the bus. See, if you'd cut me off, we're going to have an accident. Anything. I'm not very likely to get hurt if I have to slam on brakes, if I have to avoid hitting somebody because they did something untoward, just simply because it was a bus. But most of the people that do the things that they do to a bus are not giving regard to the fact that there are people on that bus who can get hurt when a bus operator has to stop short, when a bus operator has to slam on brakes. There are people who can get hurt, people who don't deserve that, and sometimes people who are just looking for a dollar sign. And now they are going to file a report and want to go to a hospital and all of that, thereby putting the operator through some difficulty also in having to make out a report for things that he did not deserve, he or she did not deserve. Pedestrians who walk in front of buses. I could go on and tell stories, but see, that's not what I'm here for now. That was just an opinion on one topic here today. But the amount of flagrant abuse and the liberties people take with buses, I don't care if you're in a car, I don't care if you're in a street, the amount of liberties people take with buses is astronomical compared to what happens between buses hitting pedestrians, between buses hitting any other cars. And as I said, there are times when bus operators, I've known bus operators who have bad track records, and they do things just for the sake of schedule, who they feel this is how they have to do things. But it's still no comparison, no comparison to the decades of nonsense and flagrant abuse that bus operators have to take. You know, people crossing in the middle of the street, buses coming, and on a dare. Just the attitude. You better not hit me. You know, like I said, I could go on and on and on and tell stories. And so could any other bus operator. For the simple reason that, why? Because they're a bus operator. Let me tell you something. You hear this talk about New York being such a tough city and don't take any crap and all of that. The reason why bus operators went through so much out there in the street is because they know that ultimately bus operators can't do a damn thing, can't do a thing, can't do a doggone thing about it, for the simple reason that they're bound. There's a limit to how much they can do, how much they can retaliate. And like it or not, as much as we like to call ourselves, New York is a tough town, New York is this, that, New York is full of people, ladies and gentlemen, that only get tough in an arena that they feel safe in. Now, I don't know if anybody's listening to this now or not, but what I didn't do was give a call-in number. Anybody interested in listening can call in. You can reach me at area code 714-816-4604. If anybody is out there and wants to weigh in on this, that's once again 714-816-4604. Boy, I was a long time going before I got into giving you my call-in number. But there it is, if anybody's listening and anybody wants to call in. But anyway, as I said, New York is a city where people will get tough where they feel safe. They'll get tough on some civil servant in a job. They'll go to a store, maybe a bank or someplace where there's public service and get tough. But when they see people in the street or on the subways or on the bus going crazy or acting aggressive or acting just pretty much how they want to or potentially violent, then these are the people who pretend not to notice something. Or they will look to somebody else in some cases. On the bus, they will look to the bus operator to do something about it. This is the kind of situations that bus operators are up against all the time. And, you know, as I've said before, I could go on and on with stories like this, too, where people just flagrantly do things to show a complete disregard for bus operators. So it's a two-sided story, and it's enough blame to go around for everybody. But I still say the amount of things that happen, the overwhelming blame, and I don't know how many people are going to agree with it or not, but I know based on my experience and observations, and in some cases memory, the overwhelming blame is on the motorist and the pedestrians. It's their fault more than anybody else's. And that's my opinion. And that's just not my opinion. That's my opinion based on experience and on facts. So there you have it. There you have it. Now, having said all that, the Rudy Giuliani comments on Obama. And, hey, Rudy Giuliani is not backing off and saying he does not believe that Barack Obama loves America. He's never seen a president like him. He has never once heard him say he loves America. And I think some people say he just talks about how he'd like to bring about some change, which was something in his campaign, too, and make it a better place. And people are questioning, well, why was it not good enough for him at all? Now, there are things with Obama that, like a lot of people, I don't agree with everything he's done. And at the same time, I knew, like some people seem to not know, a lot of black people, especially myself being black, thought maybe he's going to be some redeemer or saver or anything of that sort. I knew he was not going to do that either. But for Rudy to come out and publicly slam and say he's never seen a president like him. That was, well, a bit harsh. I don't say a bit harsh. That was hard hitting. That's period. That was hard hitting. That was hard hitting. That was not a favorable comment to the Republican Party at large. That's what it wasn't. Especially with the Republicans being under fire and needing to redeem themselves in a lot of ways, because the infighting between the House and the Senate, the two terms he's had where the Democrats and the Republicans would not reach across the aisle, the two terms where he's had the Republicans putting the kibosh, just putting a slam on any so many things that he had proposed. You know, this did not happen. This did not help him. And not only that, he's not relenting. He's, as they said in the media, as it was written in the media, he's doubling down on his comments on how he feels about Rudy, about how he feels about President Obama. And I'm saying to myself, well, why doesn't he just come right out like so many people, the general public, letter writers, and just go ahead and say what he wants to say? I think he's a communist. I think he's a socialist. And ladies and gentlemen, you're in danger. He's not bold enough to say that, but I'm pretty sure this is what he's thinking. And I don't think it's based on race. I don't think it's based on race. If not, he would have said the same thing about David Dinkins when, you know, he defeated him, when Dinkins defeated him that first time as a mayor. But I think he thinks that Obama is ethically wrong. But then now, you look, if you read anything about Giuliani and his background, he didn't necessarily come from ethical stock either. I understand his father was pretty much a collector for a loan shark. And then there were the private things that went on in his life, you know, marrying his cousin, and then that breaking up, and then moving in with two gay partners. Of course, people will say, well, what's wrong with that? But, you know, the thing I'm saying is that he's done quite a few things that are contradictory to what he preaches. And I've heard comments about people who worked with people whose bosses were friendly with him. And there has been comments about some of the things they've seen him do and some of the advantages he took during his time before he became the mayor and shortly after. You know, the usual going to certain restaurants and all that and not paying and bringing his girlfriend, even though he was married, whoever the girlfriend might have been or whatever. You know, all of these. So it was a lot of stuff that he said about Obama that a lot of other people feel the same way about. And a lot of people are saying, well, he's right. I agree with him. And other people are saying, well, like one person pointed out, so I guess if Obama doesn't send quite a few thousand troops to fight ISIS, that means he doesn't love America? Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And you know, the hurtful part about it is, I will tell anybody, during Giuliani's tenure, and this can cause a lot of argument, it caused a lot of disagreement with a lot of people, a lot of places, my house notwithstanding sometimes, during his tenure as mayor, I was fairly pleased with how things were being handled. You know, at first, he got a bad rap because he was hard-nosed. He was Republican. He was this federal prosecutor. And, you know, anything that went wrong, quite often they would say it was Giuliani. But, you know, what happened was, you could see, and I've known people, I've talked to people, and not just, I'm not talking about just Republicans or just Democrats or not just whites, but I've talked to people down through the years who said, if you couldn't see a difference in the crime and the quality of life during Giuliani's tenure as mayor, then you just weren't paying attention. And I have to agree with that. You just weren't paying attention, because there was a change. And I had liked the results he had gotten in the city. But then there was the crap with his personal life and that fall from grace. And then on top of that, World Trade Center. And he got referred to as America's mayor, which was his saving grace, what with the things that happened personally in his life. And he wasn't the first person. I mean, it's no different than with Cosby, somebody I admired. And then all this other stuff happened to ruin his reputation. That was pretty much how I felt about Giuliani, too, at the time. I liked him, but now I'm embarrassed and I'm in total disagreement with him on his viewpoints, in spite of how some people feel about President Obama or not. And it's, you know, this was a bad statement on his part. It didn't help the Republican Party, and it certainly did not help his image. Moving on to the dress, you know, Lupita Nyong'o, the dress she wore to Oscar. It was lost, and it was in the big news, and I got tired of hearing about it every day. I picked up the paper, I turned on the radio, I turned on the TV, and, well, the lead-in story, and especially on the entertainment stories, the dress is stolen, the Calvin Klein dress with all the pearls on it. Then all of a sudden it's found, and two pearls were taken, apparently, and taken to a jeweler who appraised them and said it was fake. And then the dress was found in a trash bin in the same hotel where Lupita Nyong'o was staying. And here we are. It's found. And something is crappy about the whole story. And what about the two pearls that were taken off the dress? And why would somebody steal it and just take the two pearls? And what did they do with that? And if they took them to get them appraised, did anybody recognize the people that appraised it? The whole story somehow, I don't. No, because Hollywood is full of backstories. I'm a big James L. Roy novel fan, so I believe in the stuff that people read and the stuff that really went down. And to me, there is one hell of a backstory back there somewhere with this whole dress thing. Why, how, whatever. But as I had said before, it got more airplay than the missing airlines flight. And that was, well, not more, but it seems like it was on its way to that. And I got tired of it. That was enough. That was enough. That was enough, you know. And I'm glad it's found, and now we don't have to hear too much more about it anymore. Now, the next thing, Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock. Goodbye, Mr. Spock. That's the end of an era. William Shatner's still around, but it seems like, you know, William Shatner has been in so many comical sequences in commercials and TV shows and all of that since those days. Back then, you thought of Captain Kirk as the epitome of leadership. There's no nonsense. Bold, competent, on-the-job captain. You know, I mean, he was you think of the epitome of leadership, you think Captain Kirk. And then lately, you know, he's had this great comedic talent, which he probably had all along anyway. But you thought of Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy. And to me, when the show first came on, and it was nothing like it on TV before that and afterwards, he had left such an indelible print on people. And that's the end of an era starting in the 60s. And most of them were still there in the 60s. But I say Leonard Nimoy because one of the things about him was that he did not want to be known just as Mr. Spock. He had had lots of acting before then, and he had done a lot of characterizations after that. So I say tribute to Leonard Nimoy and farewell to Mr. Leonard Nimoy, or as I like to say for people who are deceased, you know, God rest his soul, God rest Mr. Nimoy. It was the end of an era and the end of a great actor who apparently, in spite of the complications of smoking, lived, from what I understand, something of a good life. So with that, I wish him Godspeed. So now, I'll be back with another one of these bar broadcasts. I don't know when, but I'll be doing it within the next week or less. So you've been listening to Shut Up and Listen on this March the 1st, 2015. I'm your host, The Voice. And you can always find this on Blog Talk Radio. And it's show with Shut Up and Listen. And until the next time, whatever time I'm going to make that. It could be tomorrow, it could be again tonight, it could be any time next week. But certainly, until that time, I'll say have a good week.